following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 63 for Tuesday, October 5th, 2010. Tagline omitted. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We're here to do this podcast.
We're going to try and be quick, succinct.
To the point.
And...
Because really?
Not really give a lot of jocularity this time. We're going to be bland and boring.
And blah.
Maybe we should do this in our NPR voice.
Once I start with my NPR voice, I can't let it go.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of hard, too.
Oof. Okay. We have our usual security, and I don't think we mentioned Twitter, oddly enough.
I don't think we do.
I don't think we mentioned Facebook, either. Unless you want to talk about the Social Network movie that started and is apparently a smash hit.
Yeah, apparently the Facebook movie, A Social Network, is a great hit. And a lot of people are saying they love it. It's 97% approved on the Rotten Tomatoes website. And Well, there's RottenTomatoes.com, I believe it is. It gives you ratings as far as what people think about movies and reviews and such. A lot of the tech people like Leo Laporte, Jeff Jarvis, and others kind of didn't like it because it sort of puts geeks in a bad name, bad light, you know. But it is sensationalized for Hollywood. We have not seen it. I will be cheap, as well as you. And we will wait until it comes out on Netflix.
I don't care enough to
Unless there's a valid torrent out there somewhere. But I did not say that.
No, you didn't say that, did you?
No.
Ah, better not let the people from Microsoft hear you're talking about torrents.
No, well, at least it's not the Hurt Locker.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
That was supposed to be a segue.
Was it?
Yeah. Because our first story is about Microsoft security.
I guess I drove that right off the cliff. Whoa!
Drink! Dude, that was bad.
Yeah,
that was in very bad taste.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Anyway, I did hear on the guy that drove his Segway off the cliff from that we had mentioned last week. Apparently, he had just recently purchased the Segway company and was test riding a new one and accidentally drove it off the cliff.
Oh my gosh, how horrible.
Yeah, so I guess they have ruled out foul play at this point. But I guess that can kind of happen to anybody that's riding one of those things because it's two wheels and you could easily fall over with bumps or anything. So I digress in bad taste and humor.
Microsoft is, there is a web flaw out there with Microsoft's ASP web stuff.
Yeah, we mentioned this last week. There is a .NET vulnerability in Windows Server for ASP.NET modules. There was a out-of-band patch that Microsoft released, I believe it was last Wednesday. Or might have been Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday. So if you haven't run your Microsoft updates, you need to do that. Good thing to always have those on automatic update.
Yeah, I wondered why mine went off on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I never can remember to uncheck the box that says to disable reboot. Because it'll just randomly reboot. Anyway.
There's a similar PDF thing going on too, isn't there?
Yeah, I believe we had reported this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Adobe Acrobat Reader has a flaw that is considered a zero-day flaw where bad guys can take over your computer by exploiting some code in there for PDFs. And Adobe is releasing or has already released a patch for Adobe PDF Reader today, October 5th, 2010. So definitely update your Adobe Acrobat
Reader.
And if you really hate Acrobat Reader and you still have to use it anyway, so update.
Yep.
That's kind of a reoccurring trend.
Trend?
Yeah, trend.
The FBI wants to be like India.
Yeah, FBI here in the United States is wanting companies like Skype and RIM and other security companies to allow them to have a backdoor into their encryption protocols. Now that India has gotten RIM to back down and sort of give them a backdoor into things, the FBI wants it as well, so they can spy on everybody just as often as they want to. One report had said that there was a Russian guy who uses Skype in Russia so that he can talk to friends and family all over the world, and he uses Skype because the data transmission is encrypted. So you could have spies and double agents and the such using applications like
creepy,
that.
Man.
So it's not sure whether companies will back down or adhere to the FBI's request. So maybe a little bit of a privacy concern there.
More privacy concerns on the way with the iPhone apps.
Why, yes, the Apple iPhone, the definitive choice for
blind users.
Drink. Has a privacy flaw using applications. Third-party apps that you download and purchase from the iTunes Store may be sharing information that you have with other companies or actually sharing it in the clear. So if you're at a coffee shop, you may be using the Amazon app and it will actually share your full name and user ID to anyone because it's passed in clear text.
How do you disable this? Or is there a way to do so?
There currently is not a way to disable this. This is just a problem with applications.
With the Amazon, can it see your credit card information and all that, or just your name?
It passes your name, user ID, no credit card information because that's on their SSL secure servers.
Right, right.
But something like the CBS app, I believe, was another one that was pointed out in the article, said that that one actually shows your cell phone identifier and your user ID for this app. So you could easily tie it back to your actual name in order to find it. So if you're sitting at a coffee shop, that kind of information is passed in clear text. So anybody could read it or sniff it. Yeah, I'm kind of smelling a little something, and it's called Netflix.
Yep. Netflix has this nifty thing where you can configure your iPhone or iPod Touch, fourth generation, that is, to view movies on the TV.
Yeah.
Stream video, in other words.
There's quite a few different app hardware devices that you can attach to your iPhone or iPod Touch in order to put out your video content on a television screen.
Woo-hoo.
Unfortunately, it is not backwards compatible with older versions.
Nope.
So boo-hoo-hoo to those that have the older versions and will now cry because they can't do it.
Aw.
Granted, I'm not really sure why you would exactly want to do it from an iPhone. I guess if you took a nice video or something and you wanted to share it, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but how much is this adapter thing here? Do they even...
I believe they can go anywhere from like $30 to $100 or so.
Not worth it. Might as well just buy a Roku player.
Yeah, you're trying to segues here. Drink. The Roku player is stepping up its lineup of available applications. The high-end Roku player that costs $99 here in the U.S. will actually have Hulu Plus coming this fall. Hulu Plus is the service that will give you access to multiple seasons of shows or a full season of shows. I'm not quite exactly sure because I haven't really jumped into that yet. It does cost $10 a month, but if it was on a Roku player and you can get your Netflix, it kind of seems nice. Hold on, I need to go to Amazon real quick.
No. We're doing the podcast. No. We're doing the podcast.
Okay. I could use my cell phone. Wait, no, that'll share my password.
That'll share your password, your name.
Yeah, we're not sure. Anyway, that is an intriguing thing. It will be very much a interest coming on October 6th when Google TV will possibly come out. We're not exactly sure what is going to be involved with Google TV, what it looks like, but they have announced that they will have Amazon on demand, I believe, and a lot of different networks will actually be supplying information and data, but Hulu Plus is not currently one of those.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't know that there is a good segue in for this next story.
Well, in new product announcements, we can have Microsoft's Family Pack makes a return. The Family Pack came out originally with Windows 7. And if you purchase the family pack from Microsoft, you can get three licenses for $149 American.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great deal if you need to install or upgrade your Windows computers. So you might want to do this. The promotion actually started on October 3rd and will last while supplies are available.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the thing about limited supplies available, but yet it's a digital download?
I believe it's only a digital download, so you have to actually go to Microsoft and purchase it. You might be able to get it in stores like Best Buy or something.
But how do they run out if it's a digital download?
I'm not really sure.
That's what I don't get.
Last time when they said that, it took about 3 months. So everyone's figuring that it'll last up until about Christmas and then it'll go away.
Maybe. Windows Live Essentials has made some improvements.
Yes. And it is now out of beta and officially released. So if you want to get the latest update to Windows Live Messenger, Live Mail,
Windows Live Writer.
Yeah, they've kind of changed the name of that. I think it's now Blog Writer or something.
Yeah, it's Blog Writer or Blog Editor or something like
Microsoft,
that.
Microsoft Live Mesh has now become Live Sync. So there's some updates there that might be useful. You can get those by going to explore.live.com.
Yeah, some people are saying there's good and bad that comes with it. So a lot of people were talking about Messenger. The fact that you can't not tell people you have a webcam, and that annoys some people.
Yeah, and you cannot use
nicknames.
A nickname.
Yeah, that's
so
fine too.
They're saying that is probably because of tie-ins to LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yeah.
They don't want people to be impersonating others.
Mm-hmm. X marks.
Yes.
Speaking of syncing, like with Windows Live Sync, you used to be able to sync your bookmarks. And passwords with X marks. We talked last week about how the fact that it's going to die. But then they decided they were thinking about offering it as a paid subscription service for $10 or $15 a year. So they took a survey and probably not.
Yeah, they've put out on their website that if they can get, I believe it's 100,000 people to say, yes, I would gladly pay $10 to $20 a year in order to have X marks available. Mm-hmm. Currently, I believe it's at like 25,000 people have pledged. So it's not looking too good for X marks, but maybe they'll continue that survey until January. Because I've been slowly hearing it come out, but there are still people that haven't heard this.
Poor X marks.
Yeah, you would think that somebody else might pick it up, like a Yahoo.
I know. I'm surprised that Google hasn't purchased it, just like they purchased.
Well, Google could add it easily to their authentication, or Yahoo could actually embed it into Delicious.
Because Yahoo has Delicious, so it would just be one extra step to.
Yes.
To sync it all up to Delicious.
Which we use Delicious for our bookmarks that you can find at delicious.com/techaccess.
Yes. Xmarks is going down, and Google has just purchased another company.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand this one.
Google has acquired Blind Text, or what was it called? Blind Typing.
Blind Typing.
Blind Type. Yes.
Yeah, that.
It's good that we prepared for this, isn't it, folks?
Anyway.
This application actually, I believe the guy actually wrote it on a train trip.
Nice.
Where he was riding on train from one business to another. Anyway, I digress. This is an application where you can actually just type on the screen without a keyboard there. Mm-hmm. And it will try and predict what you are typing.
Nice.
When I first saw the demo of it, I was thinking, okay, they're writing letters on the screen, you know, capital W and H and whatever. But actually, you're trying to type on the keyboard that's not there. And it sort of guesses
like
at
an
it.
Invisible keyboard.
Yeah, it's like an invisible keyboard. I don't know. Supposedly, it works really nicely, and Google wants to embed it into Android to kind of go with the swipe key gesturing, you know, where you sort of make the letters out as you.
Right.
Do it with your finger, which I don't really get how blind folk would easily do this if they've never actually learned the shapes of letters.
Well, if you've learned to type, you can kind of do it. But if you haven't learned the shapes of letters for the Android thing, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
It should be interesting as to what happens with that. Google, in other news, has also pushed out their Google URL shortener, goo.gl. So if you go to that webpage, it will give you a URL shortener kind of like bit.ly or tinyurl or...
Is good. That's my favorite.
It's kind of pretty much the same. You put in your link, hit shorten, and it gives you another link. It will actually track your analytics with it if you put a plus sign at the end of the URL that it gives you.
Similar to bit.ly.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I couldn't figure out how to do like vanity URLs so that you can do like
google.com/techaccess.
Yeah, something like that. It didn't seem to have that option. Maybe I was just missing it, or maybe I hadn't run across what was actually rolled out or something. So that's something to take into account. Only problem is it takes up an extra letter if you're used to using something like isgood.
Same letters as bit.ly, though. Same number.
Yeah. And it gives Google a little bit more control. And I guess the safety as opposed to bit.ly or some of these other companies is the fact that Google most likely isn't going anywhere.
No.
Because there was a big brouhaha earlier this year because of that trim.
.im.
Yeah, going away, and people were worried about their bookmarks and shared links that they wanted to be still out there.
Speaking of companies that really aren't going to go anywhere, at least for the foreseeable future, Amazon is currently offering book samples of Kindle books that you can read sans Kindle.
Sans Kindle?
Without.
Oh.
S-A-N-S.
You're trying to use big words again, even though that's a short one.
That was in the title of the article.
Oh.
Exactly. You don't read, do you? See how he prepares? Anyways, you can now view selected chapters of certain Kindle books on the website before you purchase them.
Yeah, a lot of people were excited because they were thinking, oh, well, you can read your books online as opposed to having to actually have the Kindle, but it's not that. It's sort of excerpts and popular snippets. So if you go to kindle.amazon.com and log in with your Amazon ID, you should be able to see web content, and I believe you can even purchase from there.
Yeah, I think so, too. And also, if you are a member of Amazon's referral service thing, if you have a website associated with that, you can embed links to these copies on your website. And if people purchase as a result of seeing that file in your website, you will get reimbursements or payments.
Now, the referral service for Amazon is offered in most states, but it is banned in some, I believe. I don't believe you can have it if you're in North Carolina because of some dispute that Amazon and North Carolina have had. So my book will just have to go unpublished.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Your book? Whose book are we talking about? Trish was the one who said I ought to write a book.
I write better than you.
Oh, yeah, right.
I got Southern words. It'd take up less room. Leave out the long letters. But
W, I guess that qualifies as a long letter. It has three syllables.
Yeah, that's true.
In other e-reader news, we did not talk about Blio last time because we didn't have any time to read the information before our podcast.
And it was released in the same day that we recorded the podcast.
So the long and short of it is Blio, put out by KNFB, the same people who put out the KNFB reader that you will find on Nokia phones, that's a scanning and reading appliance, has put out an e-reader. They put this e-reader out for the general population first, and then an accessible version is coming in October. What makes this e-reader unique is the fact that it is a color e-reader and renders graphics and everything really well and makes the book look very lifelike.
It allows audio and video playback within the book.
And it has text-to-speech capability as well, or text-readback, I should say, similar to the Kindle in terms of the fact that it will read the book in a computerized voice for you. Blio is only available at this point for Mac and PC. It is not available to be downloaded to mobile devices as an app, although that is coming for iPhones and Androids and the such.
Yeah, I don't... there's evidently Twitter and people were just like overwhelmingly upset over the implementation of Blio?
Well, we should mention that it's also free at the moment.
Yes.
Implementation, I am a little bothered by it, if only for the fact that it is put out by a company that primarily focuses on assistive technology for blind people, and yet they did not put out an accessible version, or they did not integrate accessibility into the mainstream version. That is really the thing that bothers me.
Well, we don't know exactly what the accessible version is going to be come end of October. I mean, it could be just like the regular version, just have the accessibility option switched on.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't see why they couldn't have built it right in. And so you could just switch, just like with Apple. It wouldn't have been that hard to do, probably.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably that the interface is going to be a little bit different, less fluffy.
But you would think that they could do it all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's just... I don't know. I can kind of see their reasoning for doing it. I can kind of see why they would do it secondly to the mainstream version, because if they do the implementation of the mainstream version, they get a lot more hands on it at one time.
Exactly.
And they can get any bugs worked out of the accessible version.
Right. They can get bugs worked out of the mainstream version and then transfer that, hopefully, to the accessible version.
Because as everybody knows, that screen readers and magnification programs, they sometimes have problems with applications. And if they can iron out some of the bugs before it gets to that point, that could be a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a lot less questions. You know, mm-hmm. why isn't this working? And then they're having to answer from screen reader folks as well as general public.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say how big this thing is going to be.
Mm.
I don't read that tremendously much, as you can tell.
If they had it on devices, that's where I can see it being a benefit. I don't know so much on the computers if people are going to use it. But I'm sure they may use it if they can get it as an app on a device.
Yeah, and I think it's pointed more towards people being able to share and mm-hmm. collaborate
right.
back and forth over things. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, if you had a book club, mm-hmm. you could all be reading it on the Blio player mm-hmm. and... everybody could sort of comment, oh, this chapter was great. We should talk about this and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can see both sides of it, but I don't really blame them for implementing the accessible version later.
No, I see their reasoning. I just, it doesn't send a very good message to those people who need the accessible version. And honestly, it wouldn't be such a problem if the company itself was not known almost exclusively for the KNFB reader.
Well, is the Blio something that they're going to try and put out there as a mainstream product and sort of get more funding and people interested in KNFB? You know, it's kind of like AOL.
I don't know what their business strategy is on this. I mean, obviously it's going to appeal to mainstream and vision impaired alike, and I think that is precisely what it should do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like AOL. AOL was known for internet and DSL service. That kind of went away. Mm-hmm. Now they've purchased TechCrunch. They own Engadget. They mm-hmm. own Brizzly now, that they purchased last week, that does Twitter. So it's kind of like they're branching out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Blio is sort of the first step in sort of getting
I agree 100% with that.
There.
I agree 100% with that. But I don't think, never mind.
In other words, they sort of slammed the door in the face of those that built their company.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the snafu-y.
Yeah. Speaking of accessibility, we attended a webinar last Wednesday in which a gentleman from the UK, I believe so, discussed the past, present, and future of accessible technology. He calls it ICT, and I'm really not sure what that stands for. But he has a whole paper on it that you can find if you search for Delicious. And he basically talks very briefly about what assistive technology was like in 2005, what it's like now, and what it's like, what will be like 15 years from now, or 5 years from now. He starts out by talking about mainstream technology. It's basically accessibility will have to, people who want to make it accessible will have to really run and keep up, because if they don't start working on it now, then 5 years later, people who need accessibility enhancements will be left in the dust, because the digital divide is expanding so rapidly at this point.
Yeah, and the webinar that we sat in on last week was kind of where is accessibility going and where will it be next in the coming 5 years?
Yeah, he is one of those people that believes that by 2015, all print materials will basically be extinct and you will only be able to get them by request. I think that's a little bit hard to take. And also that, you know, we'll be walking around with like brain-controlled implants in our heads, which also is a little hard to take. So, you know, I don't know. But I think his main premise is a good one, that as information technology grows, more devices and products and software is developed every day, that people need to be working harder to make it accessible and to consider that, because there are definitely areas that need improvement. And as all this stuff keeps developing, it's going to, you know, leave us further behind in the dust if people aren't careful.
Yeah, and we had posted the question to him as to when did he think that people would actually start developing accessibility applications sort of at the front end instead of doing the back end.
Like Apple.
Doing it like Apple as opposed to the way Google does. They put out an application and then
think about accessibility later.
Maybe they'll do accessibility
ever.
Or not. So he wasn't really sure, but hopeful. For that.
Yeah.
You can find his work at it-director.com. His name is Peter Abrams. A-B-R-A-H-A-M-S.
Abrahams.
Yeah.
Abrahams.
Abrahams. Abrahams.
Yes.
I can't remember which way you pronounced it.
Abrahams.
Yeah. But he's a accessibility and usability
specialist
for Bloor Research, B-L-O-O-R, which is a little confusing of a name there.
Yes.
But it was sort of a series that they're doing. If you're interested, email us and we can get you the link to that.
Yeah. Speaking of accessibility, yet again, JAWS 12 public beta has been updated. Several bug fixes. I'm not sure what they are because I haven't been using it lately.
And why not?
It gets irritating switching between the two different versions. But anyway, several bug fixes and enhancements. Nothing very significant, I don't think. New, that is. If you know what's already in the beta, I don't think you'll get anything new, but there are some bug fixes.
Is there a release date for when JAWS 12 will come out?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I've heard.
Alrighty.
Not that I've heard.
Okay.
Probably some late in October like it was last year. Would be my guess.
Okay.
So
later this month, early next month, possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Aha. Mm-hmm. We will definitely back up the computer before we do that.
Yeah.
If you are new to our podcast, you will be alerted to the fact that we updated JAWS last year and it literally fudged
destroyed
the system.
Me.
It really just
it destroyed me.
Yeah, the tutorial materials is what we think crashed it. So
I downloaded a bunch of training materials. And I downloaded them all at once. And somehow something got screwed up and my system went down the drain. I basically couldn't access my hard drive after a while.
Yeah, and we couldn't go to Windows Restore Points because JAWS had wiped out everything. So be careful, back up your data as always, and be careful when updating software.
And another note about JAWS, for some reason, when I was updating the last couple times, it kept telling me that the software was not from a verified publisher. And if it does that to you, you will not hear anything. It will just sit there and click. And click away, and click away, and click away, and you won't hear anything. You won't be prompted for anything. You'll just be in limbo land and have to have sighted assistance to figure this out. Can you tell I'm irritated?
Just a little bit. So we'll move right along
into something
a little bit better this time.
Let's move along.
The adult entertainment industry.
Rare.
Is...
Should have gotten the music on.
Yeah, we should have did the music. Oh, but
That's okay.
The adult industry is taking a run at P2P point-to-point
file sharing. Peer-to-peer, yeah.
Folks, yes, peer-to-peer, point-to-point, whichever you want to call it. They are starting to have lawsuits against sharers of adult entertainment.
Yeah, they're starting to do something similar to what DMCA did when they started suing like thousands and hundreds of people at a time.
Yeah, the RIAA started doing that. And then the MPAA started doing some of that. So now the adult industry is looking to either start using encryption or looking to sue folks for file sharing.
Right.
From what I read in one of the articles that we had found, those discs do not have encryption on them like mainstream studios.
No, they don't.
So they kind of are asking for it anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess it's just that they're so low budget that they don't have the money to encrypt them.
That would probably be my guess.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like.
And this is a moneymaker for them. You think about it.
Very much so.
Potential. But then, of course, there's the risk. I guess they're thinking that based on the way things have gone with MPAA and the RIAA with their suits, that it's not that much of a risk.
Yeah, and I guess they're just starting to get into the idea that we're losing money and we just can't trust people that use our information that we provide.
Right.
And that is also one of the questions that people have about scientists.
Yes. Can you trust scientists?
That was a struggle segue. Drink.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was better than anything I could think of. People were surveyed from all over the world and were asked whether they could trust scientists on a variety of topics. The topics where people said they could trust scientists the most, 1 out of 5, were renewable energy, 4.1, the origins of the universe, 4.0, and evolution, 4.3. So people were saying we can trust scientists on these subjects, and that was pretty much the percentage of the time that they felt so. The data showed that people from Asia were less likely to trust scientists on evolution and the origins of the universe than people from the Western world. But then the article I read pointed out that there were very few people participating in the survey from East Asia, from China and Japan and those places. So that may have skewed the results a little bit. But they were essentially trying to find out whether cultural thinking determined whether people could trust scientists or not and how much faith people had in scientists. Now, they also said, as another caveat, see Melting Pot, episode 20, for the definition of the word caveat, plug.
That can be found on mushroomfm.com/meltingpot.
They were saying that 19.3% of the people surveyed had advanced degrees and so were probably more likely to trust scientists anyway.
So basically, they got grant money to sit down and say what kind of people would trust scientists. And what they came up with was, well, it depends on the people and the topic.
Yeah. Profound, isn't it?
I could have told you that.
Profound, isn't it?
If only I was a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually make money doing something other than podcasting, which makes nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
But if you would like to donate, please let us know.
Yeah. We can set something up. Ha ha. Is there anything else we have to cover?
Well, since we are trying to impersonate folks by making a news show about technology, California is saying that want to outlaw maliciously impersonating people.
Like, duh. They are concerned with impersonations of people. People being impersonated and being harmed, threatened, or otherwise manipulated by this. And if you are found out to be maliciously impersonating someone with the, intention of threatening, defrauding, all that, you could be put in jail for a period of 1 year and or fined a total of $1,000. They apparently had an 1870s law, and they felt it needed updating. I'm not quite sure what's different about this one, but apparently there are differences. I think this one talked a little bit more about, internet impersonation and over the web and things like that, of course, the 1870s one didn't consider. And
really?
Exactly. And quite possibly the penalties are higher, too. I don't know. I can't remember. The fine is probably definitely higher.
You mean that the old gunslingers from the 1870s probably weren't hitching up their horses to the trading post and sitting around going, in about 150 years, they're going to have this thing called the internet. They'll be able to talk to people all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think they were doing that somehow. No, don't think
Why not?
Anything else?
Currently, we do not have a what were they thinking.
No, for the first time in a long time, we just couldn't find one.
Yeah, nothing was really jumping out as far as a
But this chaos that you've been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
63.
Yes.
Wow, 63.
Whoa. Yes. And you can
get the tagline for this has been omitted because we couldn't really come up with one from the topics, and we found it greatly hilarious beforehand going,
tagline omitted. I say it in my PR voice.
Why,
NPR
yes.
PR radio. And you can find the bookmarks, delicious.com/techaccess/63. Twitter, of course, is TA_weekly, and all the other stuff will be in the contact information at the end.
Yes.
Standard announcement. If you'd like to fill out our PodTrack survey, please go right ahead. It's fully accessible. It only takes a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else I need to announce?
If you would like to submit daily tips,
yes,
please let us know. We have released a couple from Kevin Chow. A couple other people have mentioned that they might submit some. It's very easy. Mm-hmm. You can even go as far as to give us directions and we'll record it for you.
Exactly.
Either way.
It would help us out and it would teach us stuff because we don't know anything. So
no, we're sort of grasping at it.
So if you've got any ideas and you don't want to record it yourself, but you want to send us directions, feel free to do that. If you want to record it yourself, let us know and we'll set you up.
Yep. So simple as that.
And if you want to, exactly. Ha ha, you're good. If you want to listen to me on Mushroom FM, you can catch me tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern with Jazzy and Snazzy.
That's 6 to 8.
Yes. Or at 7 to 10 Eastern on Sunday evenings with The Melting Pot.
Yes. And this past week, you had debuted a local band.
Yeah.
Music.
Called Old North State and...
OL apostrophe.
Yes.
North State.
North State. Here from North Carolina, from your hometown.
Yes. They originated in Sanford, North Carolina. They basically played at a benefit few years back, and they've still been making music. Mm-hmm. Nothing really mainstream or anything, but they are in the process of trying to record an album, and I contacted them over Facebook.
That could be
good. Got a little song from them last week, and we played it on Melting Pot. So
could do with a couple of breath control lessons, but I mean, they could really be going places.
Well, you need a job as a backup singer.
That's true.
Anyway, training, you could replace her.
Voice is not built for that.
Ah, okay.
I know my limitations.
Anyway,
I don't do country.
That's true.
So anyway,
operatic, yes. Country, no.
Yeah, no country.
It's a pity. But anyway, now that I have ruined her mood, we will try and wrap this up by simply saying bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.